Hi guys, and welcome to Eco Talks. Today we will be talking about plastic pollution and marine life. But first, we'll tell you the latest news about our environment.
A company in Cardiff has developed machines that will be used to convert PPE into reusable plastic blocks within an hour, and five of these have already been installed in NHS hospitals.
In France, a bill prohibiting regional flights that could be replaced with an existing train journey of less than 2.5 hours passed in the National Assembly late on Saturday.
So, we're going to talk a bit about Seaspiracy, because there's been a lot of commentary on it recently. It came out like 2-3 weeks ago though, but we move. It's basically, if you don't know, it's a documentary on Netflix, and it's about how it's harmed the ocean and marine life and etc. So,
disclaimer, neither of us have watched it, so
oh yeah.
Put that there already.
Move, like I mean, I've watched a bit of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people, there's pros and cons to it. So some of the pros have been that it's helped people think about the food system and its flaws, and to discuss overfishing and industrialized fishing and slave labor, and how sustainable labeling might not just be enough. Like, it might not just be enough to just look at a label and like trust that it is sustainable. I said that word wrong. Sustainable.
Wait, what did you say?
I don't know.
Sustainable. Because it sounded wrong, but I swear it was right.
It sounded so wrong. On the other side of that, people have been saying that it focuses too much on fear mongering over like the actual facts and finding solutions. And scientists have said that there's quite a bit of misinformation, and it's just been like picked out to suit the narrative of the documentary. One of the big statistics that is actually like wrong is that oceans will be empty by 2048, and this has like been retracted. It was written in 2009, and the authors who wrote it retracted it, and it's like not I'm literally butchering English today. I don't know what's wrong. I'm so sorry. But it's not scientifically accepted, basically. And another thing was that they said 46% of plastic pollution was fishing related, which is true, but not for the whole ocean. It's just for the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. But that patch is huge, to be fair. It's literally 3 times the size of France. So
I did not know it was that big.
Yeah, it's massive. Mm-hmm. It's massive. And yeah, I get what people mean about the fear thing, because from what I've watched, it is quite scary. It's a bit like, and off the back of it, I am not eating. I was going to say meat. I haven't eaten meat in months. I'm not eating fish anymore because I can't. Well, story time. I was vegan, and then I was like more of pescatarian, plant-based type vibe going on. But now I'm going to go back to you.
Your diet definitely fluctuated.
Yes, I'm going to go back to being vegan, basically. Mm-hmm. But I eat eggs, so I'm not vegan. Yeah.
No, because I think it's important, because a lot of people don't understand the threat to marine life, and they understand not eating cows or not eating meat products, but they don't understand fish or anything. And there was also the Earthling Ed video, wasn't there? How other marine life is affected, and how like dolphins aren't.
Oh yeah, like dolphins are being killed to get like tuna and stuff like that.
And then they lie about saying that dolphins are killed. And then there was something about intentionally killing dolphins. They were like, no, we're not intentionally killing them. That's beside the point. Like, you're just...
Don't you think it's kind of weird how, like, I've seen this quite a lot, like, with certain animals, people will be like, oh my God, like, how could you do that? How could you kill that animal? Especially with, like, things that are deemed as cute. So, like... dolphins, everyone's like, oh my gosh, save the dolphins, like why are they killing dolphins? That's so cruel. Or like, even with like dogs and stuff, like I know like in some cultures they eat dogs, yeah. And people, like when people find that out, they're like outraged. Mm-hmm. They're like, how could you do that? It's like, but you eat chicken.
Yeah, why is it okay for us to eat chicken and not dogs? Or eat cows or pigs?
Yeah, it's because we've kind of like, what's the word? We've picked favorites, basically.
Yeah, because we've got attached. I think we see cats and dogs as emotional animals, and because we don't interact with like farm animals or anything, we don't understand.
We don't really see them. We see them as food, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
I find that quite sad. Like, personally, I love pigs. I love pigs so much.
Oh, pigs are so cute. And goats.
Yeah, I want a goat.
Goats are adorable.
No, I don't want a goat. I want a goat to reign free in the wild. Yeah. Anyway, back to Seaspiracy. I think the fact that it's such a scary documentary, putting fear into people does help people realise things, and especially visually portraying that makes it more memorable and like able to grasp, even though they may be gruesome videos and not very pleasant to watch. But I think it's good to, I don't think it's good to make people have to watch that,
it shows the reality, because it's real life at the end of the day. Like, you can't just like turn a blind eye to it.
But your consumption is technically causing this, so do something about your consumption, and then
done. And with the sustainable labeling thing, I know I fall for it all the time. Like, I'll see something that says sustainable, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go for that then, because you know it's sustainable, it's good. But that might not necessarily be the case. Like with these MSC labels that companies have, like Tesco, etc. They're like based on profit and business. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like they don't necessarily have to actually follow the guidelines that have been set out to have it. They just buy the license, and 80.9%, I believe, of the MSC's what's it called, income, comes from those licensing fees. So it's, at the end of the day, it's just a business, and only like, what was it, 2.something%?
2.3 or 6%.
Yeah, of their income actually goes to helping the ocean, mm-hmm. which is strange.
Yeah, and they can like change bylaws, so they can have laws that are within their company that state that they need to meet the expectations, and they have to be sustainable, but they can change them, and they do that so that they can just profit, and it's just not right.
Yeah, but I just think that things like this make, just try, I'm not saying, well, our next episode is probably going to go more into being plant-based, vegan, etc. But I think everyone should just try and be more plant-based. If your family has fish like 3 times a week, cut that down to 1. You know what I mean? Just little things like that. And don't trust these sustainable labels, because a lot of them don't actually mean what you think they mean.
Yeah.
To also talk about why it's important we protect the ocean, because, well, I know for one that I didn't really understand, like, what's the big deal? Like, the sea's the sea, do you know what I mean? But it covers 72% of the earth, and it supplies half of our oxygen. It's a huge source of food. Like 17% even of all animal protein eaten every day is seafood. It regulates climate by absorbing heat from the sun, and it helps us breathe, because it's got the, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's called phytoplankton. Yeah, phytoplankton. Yeah.
The best things in the world.
Yeah, that are responsible for the oxygen, basically. So
they I think they absorb 30-50% of atmospheric carbon. So they're very essential. So tying into marine life and oceans, we've got plastic pollution, which Lois has already talked about a bit. But first, we're going to break down the cycle of plastic. So plastic is produced by fossil fuels or plants. So it goes through the process of cracking, which you've probably learned about in GCSE chemistry. So the cracking produces the alkenes ethylene and propylene, and then they're mixed with substances to make polymers, which is kind of like the texture of powdered like laundry detergent. And this is basically melted down and cut into small pellets. These are shipped to factories, and then plastic packaging, plastic products are produced. And so then they go through the life cycle. They go to your house or wherever, and then they end up usually in landfill or in the oceans or just scattered around the globe. What happens to this, it eventually turns into microplastics, which you've probably heard about, but you probably don't. You might not understand how dangerous they are and the fact that they are practically everywhere. So over time, the plastics get broken down into the microplastics, and they're in water, they're in the air, they're in your clothes, they're in your food, they're in the fish that you eat. Yes, they're in basically everything. Like, there's more in certain fish or more in certain animals, but there's nowhere on Earth that you can not find microplastics. So marine life creatures are affected by the microplastics because they think that, I mean, that they're about, I think, like 2 millimeters. So, or maybe it's 5 millimeters. No, it's 5 millimeters or less. So it's the size of an ant. And they, marine life, like, mistakes it for food, and they eat the plastic, expecting it to fill them up, which it does. It fills them up, but it doesn't provide them nutrients. It's not actual food. So then they basically starve to death, or it injures their insides and they die from the injuries. So if the animals survive and we eat the animals, then the plastic obviously goes into our systems. When the plastic gets small enough, it goes into our bloodstream. And there's been a lot of research about it, but there's no official conclusion of how detrimental microplastics are. But there have been links to cancer and affecting just general health. And so people, like textile workers, they inhale microplastics when they work, and they get, like, their lung capacity is reduced, they're constantly coughing, and they're just generally weaker. And because of the toxic chemicals that plastic absorbs, that can also be let into your bloodstream, and it affects livers, lymphatic systems, and that's the bad side. Well, it's all the bad side, but that's the worst case. No,
that's awful.
Because I always understood that microplastics are bad, but I didn't really understand how they harm our health. So ideally, we would recycle the plastics, but plastics can only go through one or two recycling processes compared to paper. Paper can be recycled 5 to 7 times. You can literally do it at home. Seen loads of TikToks of paper recycling. That's absolutely brilliant. So But recycling plastic is expensive as well, and you have to have clean plastic, and you have to actually put it in the recycling bin, which a lot of people don't do. I think it's 91% of plastic packaging is not recycled, and at least 95% of the world's growing population of plastic is single use. So 95% of it cannot be recycled. 91% of that is not recycled.
Oh my gosh. Which
just so just try, if you do buy plastic, try and recycle it. Try and clean it. Try and put it in the right bin. But in the first place, just try not to buy it.
And buy products without these like microbeads. They're literally in everything. They're literally in like cleansers and stuff, toothpaste. Toothpaste that don't have it is the Colgate Smile for Good toothpaste. It's a new one.
I got that one.
It comes in a recyclable box, so that's good as well. Euthamol as well has no microbeads and stuff like that. Cleansers for your face, a lot of them have, and scrubs and stuff. I don't know how to say this brand, it was quite popular, but CeraVe.
Oh yeah, I've never known how to pronounce it. It's like CeraVe. I've just never tried. Maybe it's because it could be like CeraVe, even though it's C. It could be. And I don't know.
Yeah, but that's an example of one without it. So opt for those things over others. Yeah. And obviously recycle. Also, buying things in bulk can also help, because there's more. The packaging to product ratio is just better. So if you use something frequently, it's just better to buy it in bulk and then buying individuals every time.
Yeah.
And if you want to find, if you live in London, like London boroughs, there's a website called Useless. I'll put the link in the description of this. But it basically helps you find zero waste shops locally to you.
Yeah.
So if we've bullied you, no, not bullied, that's the wrong word.
You know, they, in Seaspiracy, they also said that some of the interviews they did, they claimed that they were being bullied, and it's like, you're not being bullied. If people are asking you questions that are difficult to answer, that doesn't mean you're being bullied. That means you're doing the wrong thing.
They're pretty straightforward questions from what I've seen, but yeah. So if you're looking for any fish alternatives, now that you've watched Seaspiracy and you've listened to us and you know you want to do better, corn battered fishless fillets, apparently they're good. Corn fishless fingers, I've had them, they're actually good. M&S Plant Kitchen melt in the middle fish cakes, apparently M&S's Plant Kitchen range is like insane. I haven't tried it yet, but if I do, I'll give you a bit of a review. We should do a vegan food review. We can do an ASMR vegan food review. Please.
Maybe not ASMR. Actually, no. I do love my ASMR, to be honest.
Oh, I love a cheeky bit of ASMR.
How can listeners even contact us?
Oh, that's a great question. Maybe we should make an email.
DM the Instagram.
Oh, yes. Which will be in the description. Yeah. Morrison's. So... Sorry, I just went straight back into the food. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, Morrison's do a tuna, a fake tuna. It's called Lomo Linda Tuno. And and Sainsbury's also do prawn pieces, prawn pieces.
Oh, I think I've tried those. Are they like those, the wrapped ones?
No, they're like battered.
Oh, there's also a fun little news fact thing. So apparently coffee waste improves forest growth. So to help tackle deforestation, we can use coffee waste as a fertilizer, and it improves the growth of trees. It makes taller trees, makes them grow quicker. This was a study done in Costa Rica, and the coffee pulp was basically spread around the agricultural land. And after 2 years, 80% of the canopy, like, area was covered with the coffee, like the coffee trees, that's what I'm going to call them, even though they weren't coffee trees. But then 20% was covered by the non, like, in the control area. I said that so badly.
It was fine.
Points were good enough. Okay, you're going to cut where it says Costa Rica.
Okay.
So the coffee waste was the coffee. So the coffee pulp was spread around agricultural land. And basically, after 2 years, 80% of the canopy cover was from the coffee pulp area. But in the control area where there was no coffee pulp, it was only 20% canopy cover. So that just shows that we can combat waste, food waste from coffee, and reduce deforestation.
It's really That's so good. We love ending on a positive note. So all the links will be put in the description, so you can check those out if you're interested. Follow us wherever you're listening to this. And follow the Instagram. And bye.